existence. In existence, join the resistance. Come on, let's start by talking tactics. Have a pass and match us. Here's how we practice. The Lost Art of Conversation. David James.
What's up? Hey, this is Pop Culture Continuum. This is John Elliott.
This is Patrick Riccardi, and I guess we are in the 90s.
Well, I was doing your character from last week that you were talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess we're not in the 90s then.
It's an homage. No, we're still back in 2010.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you want to give the breakdown of what we're doing?
This time we watched, for something from the past, we watched an episode of Soap, a show from the 70s. And from something more current, we watched a second season episode of Arrested Development named Meet the Veals.
Indeed we did. And
I don't think the Soap episode had a title. I think it was just...
Yeah, I think it was just season one, episode 7.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything. I didn't look that hard, to be honest. But
I just closed my eyes and didn't see anything, and I thought that was hard enough work.
Yeah, same here. Like I said, it is hot as shit here.
You didn't say that.
Oh, I said it to you beforehand.
It's, I never listen.
Hot as Marge Schott's twat. It's got to be
sports reference.
Well, racist reference, really. Which, speaking of racist, well, they tie in with homophobes. We should mention the big news this week that the Supreme Court spanked the fuck out of Prop 8 here in California. So, I think we all know what's coming next. Men marrying their goats.
It's been a long time coming.
A long time coming. I was just waiting for the floodgates to open. No, but congratulations. Like I said on Facebook, congratulations to the Supreme Court for waking up and realizing it's the 21st fucking century.
Well, was it 5 of them?
Yeah, well, not all of the Supreme Court. The majority of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Although I guess it was just a technicality that they slapped it down on, but still good news.
Yeah, it was not terrible news, which is good news. I don't know if there was anything. I guess the worst case, it could have been a worst case, but no one really expected that to happen. No one expected the Supreme Court to say, California, you have to uphold this stupid proposition.
Well, I mean, shit, you never know with some of those assholes on the court.
Well, that's true. There's enough people that were in the court that aren't incredibly brain dead. But, you know, I think the more I follow the Supreme Court stuff, the more it's not really, like, I'm stupid, so I don't know anything about the law. But it really doesn't matter if you do or not. All those guys are just basing everything on their opinion, just finding laws that will work with it. Like, Scalia is not looking at the law and saying, oh, you know what, people, everyone should be able to get married. He's looking at
precedents to support his opinion already.
Right.
To bolster what he believes. Yeah, you know, you said you're not smart, but you don't have to be smart to be a lawyer. All you have to do is be tenacious and go through the school. I mean, it's basically rote learning. It's all memorization, right? That's why fucking prisoners become lawyers in jail. They don't become doctors. Lawyers aren't exactly geniuses, as about half the Supreme Court aptly shows. Yeah, Scalia, you know, I don't wish death on anyone, but I wouldn't be sad if he died. He's had a good run. He's been a Supreme Court justice, lives a nice life. I don't think it would be any, you know, it wouldn't be a tragedy were he to die now and Obama was able to appoint somebody super liberal, though knowing Obama, he would probably appoint somebody more moderate anyway. But shit, even more moderate's better than Scalia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, when whoever gets appointed, it's kind of a crapshoot sometimes. They look liberal, they look conservative, and then they get in there and they end up having their own opinion, which is not necessarily liberal or conservative.
Yes, true.
So it's too bad you can't put some kind of robot in there.
Well, you know that day is coming.
I know, I'm waiting.
Judge Bot. And then, well, sad news for me anyway, James Gandolfini died.
Oh, yeah, that was a shock and super tragic.
Yeah, I mean, not quite as much of a shock when you think about what kind of shape he was in, but still very
still,
young.
I mean, look at someone like John Goodman, who's not in much better shape, but
True.
He's carried on for a long time. I don't know. I don't think I ever read if they figured out. Was it just a condition he had? Do they know what happened?
I mean, I heard heart attack. I haven't been really keeping up.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Sopranos?
I watched most of it. I didn't see most of the last season, but everything I've watched was terrific.
Well, he was obviously awesome on that. He is a, yeah. He to me, he seemed like he had a screen presence like you didn't see since like Brando or somebody, really, where he just kind of occupied. Your focus was on him completely, no matter what scene he was in.
And everything he's done, it's been like that too. Everything I've seen he's done, he takes over a role in Zero Dark 30, where he played, was it Panetta?
Oh yeah, right. I forgot he was in that actually.
He took it over, and it's you forget other roles he's played when he takes a role like that on. He's really good. He was really good.
Yeah, and by all accounts, a very nice man. I read that he didn't want to play bad guys anymore after Tony Soprano. So, RIP, James Gandolfini. And RIP, Prop 8, come to piss on your grave. All right, let's get into the shows. Your thoughts?
About Soap, I don't... Very good.
Yeah, it was still good. Thought. I think this wasn't actually the episode I thought it was. I thought there was more Chuck and Bob. So this was the first episode where Chuck and Bob, who are Bert's, I almost said Bert's sons. It's Bert's son and his ventriloquist dummy, Bob, show up. And I think there were a couple episodes later, Bob really got into insult mode with the rest of the family. So he was on only briefly on this one, but it was still a good, good appearance.
It was especially good just to see how the characters were introduced to the other characters in the show and the audience of how it was going to be playing the rest of the show, with Billy Crystal having kind of a running gag with Bob, the ventriloquist dummy, and just the older brother trying to choke the dummy every
Danny.
Time. Danny.
Yeah, Danny's kind of a lunkhead who kind of thinks the doll is real, which... was something that was repeated in the Arrested Development episode,
yes.
Which we'll talk about later. But for those who don't know, Soap was a sitcom in the 70s, I guess into the early 80s, that was basically a parody of daytime soap operas. Shit, I don't know. It was just crazy. Like in addition to the son and his ventriloquist dummy. The older son, Danny, is in the mob. And, you know, there was a storyline where Bert was abducted by aliens.
Bert is their stepfather.
Yes, played by Richard Mulligan, the great Richard Mulligan, who we determined was dead, right?
Yes.
R.I.P.
Billy Crystal plays one of the very early openly gay characters on television.
If not the first, I'm not sure. I should have researched that. But were there openly gay characters on TV before him?
Was the character Tony Randall played in that sitcom, was he openly gay or just was it
the
just
odd
implied?
Couple? Yeah, I think it was just implied. He was just...
Not the Odd Couple, the Sydney, where he played a single dad.
But that was after Soap, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, it was if it might have been the first. But it was, if not, it was very early, and it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't bad either. It wasn't Three's Company kind of gay.
Right.
It was more straight. That's the perfect way to say it, isn't it?
No, they played it straight. They didn't play the gayness for laughs. I mean, there were obviously they played homophobia for laughs.
Right. Yeah, and
on
they,
the show. And they, so
as
they
the show went on, they have him looking into a sex change operation, which is not. But that's just what that's how a soap opera parody is going to work.
Yeah, exactly. That was more soap opera parody than any kind of a gay statement, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's them. They're the Tates. They're the Campbells, and then
right. Tates are the rich family. With...
Yeah, who is Bert's wife, Mary? Her sister is Jessica Tate, married to Chester, who's a. I was surprised. A very good comic timing from that dude.
Oh yeah, and I don't know if he was ever a regular in another show, but it seems like if you look at back in 70s, 80s shows, he was a guy who would show up as a supporting character actor in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, or a guest.
Face you recognize.
Robert Mandan, some shit like that. And yeah, so they're the rich ones, and they've got Jessica Tate's father, the major, who still thinks he's in World War II. They've got Scott Baio's brother playing the son, Billy. Or was it his cousin? I don't know.
I just saw Baio and I imagined brother.
But... Well, yeah, I assumed it was his brother too. And then a couple daughters, one of who ran away with a convicted felon, the other one who married a priest and had a baby possessed by the devil.
Spoilers.
Yeah, well, you got to... It's not really spoilers if you've ever seen any daytime soap. I mean, exactly the kind of shit you would expect to happen. I think Billy got abducted by a cult later. Anyway, this episode... the main reason I picked it was because of the first appearance of Chuck and Bob. And even in the brief...
I guess we didn't... Chuck and Bob... Chuck are Richard Mulligan's son and his ventriloquist dummy who he believes is real.
Right. And even in the brief scene they had, Bob got off a couple good lines. He told Billy Crystal's character that he loves Anita Bryant.
Right. That was a...
And what the I don't need to take this kind of aggravation from the lower middle class. I thought that was good. It holds up. There was some physical humor on the construction site. Kind of physical humor, I guess. Where Danny's petrified to be up so high and Bert's just walking around like a lunatic.
It does hold up, but there the scenes with Richard Mulligan with some characters Richard Mulligan's just kind of there and he's funny. But with Danny, Richard Mulligan's so funny and so great that it's kind of distracting because Danny's not nearly as funny a comic actor.
No, he's not. He's a... he was on Blossom. He was the dad on Blossom, Danny, later in his career. He's just kind of a... he's just kind of there. He doesn't really have the comic timing or the physical... comic timing.
Most of the time that doesn't matter, but in that scene you're talking about up on the construction site where he's pretending or not pretending, he's afraid of heights and he's hanging on for dear life. It just really shows when Mulligan is just kind of chewing up scenery. He's a lot funnier.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I mean there's a lot of actors on the show that aren't, you know, whatever. They're not great comic actors, but they have good lines to read, so they can get by. Yeah.
I was really impressed by Billy Crystal, because, I mean, now Billy Crystal's kind of gotten to the point where he's a parody of himself.
Right.
And if you like him, you like him. You'll laugh at him. I don't really care for him. But in this show, he's subtle and very funny.
Yeah, understated. He definitely, you can see how he was a comic, because he has the timing and the mannerisms down. He worked really well in the confines of a sitcom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was no Search for Curly's Gold, but
was that the City Slickers Part 7?
Part something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, back before dear departed Jack Palance left this Vale of Tears. Actually, I don't even know if he was in that one. I don't think I've ever seen that movie, so.
I don't even know if he's dead.
He is. We looked it up on the Batman episode.
No, but I mean, I know it's reported that he's dead, but I don't know that he's dead.
Oh, yeah, kind of like Nelson Mandela.
They're very similar figures in history.
I think so. Jack Palance is the white Nelson Mandela. I've been hearing, like, Nelson Mandela's dead. No, he's not. He's fine. No, he's dead this time. I don't know why that's so difficult to get straight.
I've not heard the... I haven't seen any reports of his death, but I've seen a lot of people say Nelson Mandela will be dead soon, and he was a great man. So
I've seen reports of his death and then retractions.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I think The Guardian even printed that they took him off life support. I don't know. I don't know why they're trying to make a slapstick comedy out of a dude's death, but apparently that's what journalism has devolved into.
You got to get the story first. It's not important. Quality is not important. It's being first.
Yeah. First before facts.
I didn't know that's how that went.
I just made it up. I think that's CNN's mantra. Anyway, the show, yeah, what can you, anything stand out for you? Like I said, Chester Tate, great comic actor, Richard Mulligan, obviously.
We've gone this long, and we haven't talked about Robert, how do you say his last name, Guillaume?
Oh, Robert Guillaume.
Benson. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He this episode, he didn't have a lot of lines, but every line he had was funny. And he's given a lot in this show with being kind of like a snappy, snappy one-liners and insults. So he has a lot to work with, but he milks it. He's a great actor.
Oh yeah. He has great comic timing too. He obviously went on to Benson, which was a spinoff of this show and not even half as good.
No.
I mean, he kind of lost his bite on that show.
Well, it was there in the first few seasons, but then slowly but surely they took it away. I mean, that show started with Benson fighting with the German housekeeper, and by the end, I think they were almost married.
Oh, yeah. Well, Olga or Elsa or Ilga or some shit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was good casting of her. She was very ice queenish, and well, she also was on soap.
Oh, did her character come
no,
on soap?
No, no, different character. She played a... a blackmailer on soap. Corinne's Real Mother, I think.
I see.
I have to go back and rewatch. But that was also a what was it? Harris Thomas Harris, was that the company or the
Harris
people?
Harris Thomas Boyett. I know the main person, Susan Harris.
Right. I always remember her name.
But I mean, there's good reason to. From what I've been reading, is I don't think I know enough about her because she sounds kind of awesome. She wrote or co-wrote almost every episode of soap.
Oh, you always see written by Susan Harris at the beginning of the episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's. I don't. I guess I haven't. When I watched soap as a kid, I wasn't paying attention to that stuff, and I haven't really read up on much of its history. But that's kind of awesome that such a funny show has one strong figure behind all of it, and it's not, you know, I'm sure there's a team as well, but hers is the main name for all these episodes. It's
really cool, and I mean, she was in TV for a long time. What else? I mean, I know she did Empty Nest, and I assume Benson.
Right. Well, I think what happened after Golden Girl or after Soap, she kind of just wrote pilots and let other people do the work. And from her Wikipedia page, it said that she had chronic fatigue syndrome, so she didn't work as hard on other shows as she did on soap. And maybe she was just burned out. But
she
whatever.
Produced a lot of shows still.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas, was it, you said Harris Thomas, was it Boyett?
Maybe.
Or was that,
I should have really done research on this shit before we started talking about it.
I think that's the listener's job.
I believe it is, too.
They can write in if they find stuff out.
Or they can go fuck themselves if they have a problem with it. Yeah, no, go on about her, because I didn't read anything about her.
I think I pretty much said everything I know.
Damn it. Well, and then Golden Girls, of course, and Golden Palace, where... Wait, did you find out if Mitch Hurwitz was on Golden Girls or just Golden Palace?
He was in Golden Girls.
He was Golden Girls, okay.
Yeah, I heard an interview with him on Fresh Air, and he talked about he was working on Golden Girls. And, yeah, Golden Girls.
Oh, Fresh Air. A very elitist of you, Pat.
I listened to the episode with the curse words not bleeped out, so.
Oh, okay. You're cool, Dan.
Thank God.
Yeah, she, it's pretty amazing that she wrote so many damn episodes. I mean, I don't think that's how TV works anymore.
No, I mean, I don't even think it worked like that back then. She just must have been a control freak, like a...
Total control freak, yeah.
But what's the Sorkin on the West Wing, the first... four seasons of the West Wing, or was it three, whatever, the first few seasons of the West Wing, he was writing every episode and firing his staff because he didn't like how they were doing it. So it's a similar, Oh, the other interesting thing about soap, not talking about writing anymore because I'm sick of that conversation, is the fact that it was a Tonight Show competitor when it went on the air.
What?
Oh, I thought that was one of the big facts about it. That's what ABC, Tonight Show's on NBC. Yeah, ABC put it up at 12 or 11:30 on whatever night it was on to go against the Tonight Show. And it was an experiment.
Oh, and that's no why they're shit.
Able to get away with more shit. So
they did show it in primetime too, though. Maybe that was later, because I remember watching it in primetime when it was on. I thought.
Oh, I only watched it in reruns. And yeah, I hope I'm not wrong about that.
Well, my memory might be faulty too. I did stay up late, so maybe it was on late. Well, wow, that's really weird. Because I don't know of any other sitcoms that have been on that late, except in like Australia.
Oh, I think I'm wrong. I just looked it up.
Damn.
I don't know where I got that information.
Maybe you
should. I should look stuff up before the show starts. Would be a good idea.
Or
I swear,
get a job
heard...
covering the Nelson Mandela beat.
But I don't think I did a good job of researching this, because this show had a buttload of controversy.
Soap. Oh yeah.
Do you remember at the time being on the news? Because
you
were old enough to know about this stuff. I was a little bit too young.
I was. You know what? Back then, news didn't cover a lot of entertainment like it does now, and that kind of those kind of controversies and stuff. Unless you lived in L.A., then that's
right.
That's all the news industry was down there. But no, I don't remember. I can just imagine with the subject matter that they touched on.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like it wasn't like it was they introduced the gay character of the third season. This was from the jump.
Yeah, yeah, and sex, and you know, kind of.
But the ironic, I mean, the funny thing is that this is all stuff that they're already doing in soap operas during the day.
During the day, yeah.
Anything in this was new or different. So I don't understand, and maybe I would understand if I did the research, but I don't understand why this would have the controversy.
I don't know either. I mean, think of the children. I guess that's more what it was, you know. Kids are at school during the day, and they're not watching that crap before DVRs. Who the hell knows? You know, I mean, they did, yeah, they did have, like you said, the sex chains operation talk, and, you know, Jessica Tate was sleeping with her daughter's boyfriend. And
played by a young Robert Urich.
A young, sexy Robert Urich.
There's no time where you can not say sexy with Robert Urich.
That's even, true. I
even
just,
in death.
I had to
dead
add it.
Sexy.
Wait, he's not dead, is he?
Yeah. He died a long time ago.
He did not. Did he?
Yeah. This one I'm right about, and I'm sure.
Well, he was sexy to the end then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. Much like Milton Berle.
2002. Well, sometimes... I don't want to talk about Milton Berle.
I don't either. I know you're going to say something about his giant schlong. all right. Are we done with soap? You have any other thoughts on it?
I don't think so.
It's pretty good. It's not available on like Netflix streaming or anything.
It used to be. I don't know why it isn't anymore. I guess some stupid contract. But yeah, you have to get it out on disc, or because it's not on Hulu or Amazon anywhere. You have to get it on disc.
Ah, so bummer. I mean, I bought the whole series, so I own it. But it's worth checking out.
Oh, here's a fact I should have looked up before we started talking.
Yes.
The announcer was Rod Roddy. It was originally Casey Kasem who left the pilot after the pilot episode due to the show's content.
Oh my God, Casey Kasem.
So don't you think he could have read the script before he left and said, no, I don't want to do this. But he had to actually, maybe he doesn't read things before he does them. He performs them. He's like, what am I reading? I can't do this anymore.
Oh,
Homos, goodbye.
And yet he had no problem doing voice on Scooby-Doo, which is a horrid pile of shit. Hey, I've heard the Casey Kasem outtakes where he's like cussing.
Yeah.
I don't know how he tries to claim any kind of moral high ground, especially on something that's obviously a parody. But wait, what's the guy's name? Rob Robbie?
Rod Roddy. I think he used to be, he was the original. I don't know how far back, but he did the voice, the narrate, announcing on Price is Right.
Oh, shit. Well, that can't be a real name. All right, let's move on to Arrested Development. And this was your pick.
Meet the Veals.
Meet the Veals. I was going to say my favorite episode, I thought, was the Afternoon Delight episode.
I wouldn't say this was my favorite episode. I picked it because it was Franklin's first episode.
Yeah.
Bookend against this soap episode that was the first episode of Chuck and Bob.
So it was a perfect tie-in. And it was a really funny episode. It also made me think about this new season they just did. It like I said, we both enjoyed it. It wasn't up to the old season standards, really, when I was rewatching this. I hadn't rewatched any of the older seasons beforehand.
I don't know. I think when I rewatched season 4, I'm going to enjoy it as much as I enjoyed this, because I think a lot of the enjoyment you get from Arrested Development is knowing stuff you don't know before you saw it. So it makes the jokes funnier.
Yeah.
I might be wrong.
That
of course, this has a lot of stuff that's just downright funny anytime you see it, because the Franklin stuff is just raw funny. There's no setup to it. It's just so stupid, racist, funny.
Yes, hilarious. Even the dumb shit, like having Franklin with his hands tied behind his back on the hood of the car was still funny, even though it's, you know, that's one of those things that's just totally outside the bounds of reality.
Yeah. And I will never not laugh when there's a ventriloquist dummy and someone attacks the dummy. That is always going to be funny to me.
It is. And it happens numerous times in this episode.
Yes. And it happened in an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, and it cracked me up. It's just a great gag.
Oh, who attacked? The father?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I vaguely remember the episode, but I don't remember the specifics. Yeah, go ahead, Pat. This is your pick. Let's talk about it a bit.
Well, it's George Michael wants to get married to his girlfriend Anne.
Well, pre-engaged.
Yeah. And the big part of the episode is meeting the Veals, which is Anne's family. And
Ione Skye as the mother.
And I forget the guy's name, but he's always funny. He played Wash in Firefly. He's a very funny actor, and both of them are great in it. There's a line throughout the episode, "I want to know your secular ways," and it's just a funny line. Ione Skye says it to
George Michael.
No, it says it to Michael.
To then, Michael, sorry, right.
And then Anne says the same thing to George Michael later in the episode. It's just a very funny line.
Yeah, I love the way Ione Skye is rubbing up against Michael in the most unsexy way.
We're making love.
Yeah, and because that's what she thinks secular love is like. Oh, hilarious.
And this episode has a little bit of maybe in the studio. And throughout Arrested Development, it always amazes me the young comic actors they got that went on to do other stuff. And they have as Mabee's assistant is the guy who plays the engineer in Big Bang Theory. And he was in a couple other things, but he just has a kind of a throwaway part in Arrested Development. And that happens when you watch the first seasons, or, you know, the original run, there's a lot of bit parts that are played by people who go on to do great things.
You recognize now. Yeah.
Right. Like half the cast of The Office was on Arrested Development in one's role or another.
And shit, I lost my train of thought. Sorry, what we were talking about. Never mind. Go on.
That was it. That's all I wanted to talk about.
All right, that's the end of Arrested Development.
We're talking about the secular.
The secular shit. Yeah, I totally lost it, dude. You fucking kept going and going. God damn it.
The twin fight was pretty. At the end of this episode, there's
George Senior
and Oscar. Getting a fight, and they match, since they're twins, they match every move,
so no one can land a punch. shit, I didn't bring my notes. And I was trying to think, well, Franklin had all the best lines.
Well, yeah, and the perhaps the best line of the series comes from Franklin out of Buster.
Oh, you freak bitch.
I don't want to go to your white country club, you freak bitch.
I liked Job's line that Franklin said some things that Whitey wasn't ready to hear. And then Michael's like, didn't he get attacked outside a club and wherever the hell? He's like,
Torrance.
Well, yeah, Torrance. Franklin said some things African-American he wasn't ready to hear either. Oh, they even had that that close-up of Franklin, which cracks me up every time. When it's going when the security guard is trying to fake bust Job, and it goes to the close-up of all the faces, and then it goes to the close-up of Franklin's face. Ventriloquist dummies are always an ace in the hole when you're doing comedy. Or horror.
Yeah. Well, Franklin's not a traditional ventriloquist dummy. That dummy that really scares people.
No, he's too goofy looking.
Yeah, he's more like a puppet.
Yeah.
But they are good in horror.
I had a ventriloquist dummy when I was a kid. I had, you know, Willie Tyler and Lester.
No.
Oh, this black dude, and he had like a black dummy back in
the
day.
Oh, yes, I didn't know them by name. You had Lester?
I had Lester, the black dummy.
Did you ever put on a show?
Just for myself. I never got good at, I didn't have the patience to actually learn ventriloquism, so I would just fucking talk with my lips moving and stuff, you know. But I'm sure I said some wildly, outrageously, what could be construed as racist things at the time. Were I not a child,
right?
Because I'm sure I was trying to do the black voice, you know. But thankfully, I gave that up and actually got laid at some point.
not by Lester.
Well, I didn't say that. Wood counts. Yeah. And through the whole original run of the series, I felt so bad for the actress because all the jokes at her expense were about how plain looking she was and not really attractive. And I mean, I guess somewhere that she had no personality as well, but
right. Yeah. But the thrust of the joke was her plainness.
Yeah.
And now she's gone on to, have a pretty big part in, what's the name of Parenthood.
Oh yeah. Don't really watch it.
I've seen it's good and she's good in it.
Yeah. I thought it was based on the movie Parenthood.
I think it's its own thing.
Yeah, which was kind of a comedy and it seems more like a, family drama.
Yeah. It's not, it's totally its own thing. It's the guy who created Friday Night Lights. I think that's the name of that show is the creative team behind it is the same team that wrote that show.
Oh, all right.
And they do a good job.
Yeah. People kept telling me I would love Friday Night Lights, even if I didn't like football, but like I watched the first two episodes and it was all about football. So I was like, no, but maybe I'll give it another try.
I think if you don't care about football, you can like Friday Night Lights, but if you actively dislike it, it would be really hard to like the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I fall on that continuum with sports. You know, I'm not a sports fan. Well, the only thing more boring than watching sports to me is listening to people talk about sports. And the only thing more boring than that is Big Bang Theory. Well, I think this is more entertaining. I think it's slightly more entertaining than Big Bang Theory. We do use some of the same jokes from the 60s, but
ours are more racist.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about that.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
you got a bomb going off there?
That was here? I thought that was there.
Oh my god, NSA, hello.
They're listening in. I just want to say, I think, you know, I wouldn't be all that upset if somebody bombed the shit out of that facility in Utah.
I don't think I follow the news closely enough. Which facility?
It's the big listening facility, the name of which is escaping me, of course, right now.
I didn't know it was based in Utah.
Isn't everything important?
I guess.
Oh, George Michael, Michael Cera. Did you see This Is the End?
No.
It's okay. I would say matinee price is worth it.
Okay.
But Michael Cera is fucking hilarious in it.
Oh, that's good.
He's not in it. He's not in it for very long, but he's great in it. And great on this show. All the actors. I mean, I think comedically, Portia de Rossi is the weak link on this show.
And that's a very strong weak link. Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's just she's surrounded by really great comedic actors, and she's just okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if anybody could do better than her, though.
Like, no, that's true. That's true. Maybe some of it's the writing for her.
And she's often the brunt of jokes, so it's I think it's harder to play that. But yeah, everybody is good in Arrested Development. Even the guests are good. There's very few things to dislike about the show. I know a lot of people dislike the third season where they have the Mr. F stuff, and I even like that.
No, I didn't mind that either. And it had a really good payoff, I thought, too.
Yeah. That's the thing about Arrested Development is if you don't like something, just wait. You're going to like it soon. Not for everybody, but for people who like it. Like, sometimes people will complain about something in it, but in a couple episodes, it's going to be funnier than it was before.
Yeah, they always bring it around.
Yeah, yeah.
And
this episode had something I didn't care for at the time, but I think as I watch it, I like it more. I never cared for the Mrs. Featherbottom.
Oh, that's David Cross Tobias playing a Mrs. Doubtfire type character.
And in this episode, I just found it funnier than I ever did before. I'm not sure why.
I found it funny this time, too. And I thought it was like kind of trite the first time around watching it, I remember. So I need to rewatch the whole series, I think, because there were a few things I didn't like. I didn't really like the Julia Louis-Dreyfus storyline so much the first time around.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of the guests, the Martin Short, I thought that was not a good episode.
I don't think, that's never going to be good. There's good parts of it, but yeah, it's a little not really what this show is, so I'm surprised. Maybe they really wanted to get Martin Short on because they're big fans of his, but it doesn't really fit well with the show, even though... Because it was just too over the top.
It's a different tone, yeah.
Even though we just talked about something over the top, the Franklin and handcuffs thing that worked just perfectly fine, but somehow that's different.
Well, both shows, Soap and Arrested Development to a much greater degree, very fast-paced humor.
Yeah, but I imagine that for the time period, Soap was faster than anything else because it's also a very fast show.
It is. It moves along, and they're both about families.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, but there's so many different storylines going on in both shows.
Yeah.
That's another similarity, I think. And yeah, you're right. That wasn't typical of humor back then.
There's probably more shows when Arrested Development was on that had a storyline that carried throughout the whole season. But for Soap, that was definitely groundbreaking for a sitcom to have an ongoing show, a story throughout the season.
Stories that, I mean, throughout the series, yeah.
And even an episode would end and the next episode would begin and you'd be in the middle of a scene.
Yeah, yeah. There was no waste on either show, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of time setting up. I mean, the beginning of each episode of Soap would be a recap of what had happened previously, which you would need if you hadn't been watching.
Right, and I feel like Arrested Development didn't need to do that because when it was airing, there was more avenues you could look stuff up.
With the internet, it's totally easy. And DVR, you can just, so rewatch if you want.
And that's what sometimes people talk about this being the golden age of television. Why were they so stupid back then? Why couldn't they make more? I think part of it isn't that they would have liked to, but there's no way they could really... And this is not the fault of the audience. There's no way people could follow something from week to week when you couldn't refresh yourself like you can with Sopranos, where you can read about the episode after it aired to refresh yourself for the next week. If they did that in the 70s, it just wouldn't have worked.
No, well, I mean, besides the fact that it would have just been in a newspaper or something.
I mean, they could have had that, but it's just not the same.
Right, exactly. And
spend 15 minutes at the start of the episode setting everything up, what happened last time. And it just, I think that's a big part of why a lot of episodic television has improved in the past 40 or 50 years.
I think so, too. Although, you can talk shit about the 80s TV but if you look around now, there's some great shows. There's a ton of crap still making, like, any show that has a studio audience or laugh track at this point in history is just a bad sign. I know it's going to suck.
Yeah, I don't know if I could even stomach a good show that had it.
Yeah, but, I think Seinfeld is the last show with a laugh track that I really got into.
But I know Tina Fey talked about 30 Rock, and someone asked her, was it a choice that you didn't use a studio audience because it's not as good? And she said, no, it's just right now that those shows aren't as popular, and I wanted my show to be more popular, and it's cheaper to have this set up, and that's why we did it. But if it was more feasible to do studio audience, I would have done studio audience. It doesn't make a difference in the quality of the show for me. So I think also it just might be what people like right now. So that's why they're making less shows like that. And the kind of people who like a show with a studio audience are getting it. And that's just not us.
Yeah, perhaps. I think you can also, you have a lot more freedom without a studio audience. Like I don't think they could have done a lot of the stuff they did on 30 Rock with a studio audience. They had a lot of outside scenes and quick cuts, between scenes and stuff that would have maybe not played so well with the studio audience.
Oh, that's the thing. It doesn't matter how it plays when you have a studio audience, because they just sweeten the laughter up.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's another thing is, like, with a show like Arrested Development, say, or 30 Rock, if there was a studio audience, some of the jokes are very subtle and spoken under the breath, and I don't think that kind of humor is going to work with a studio audience at all. They're going to drown it out, and you're going to miss things. Yeah.
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 I remember I was listening to an interview about All in the Family. Oh, we could do that for our. I'll talk about that in the All in the Family episode.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. The writers were talking about how they had a studio audience, and guys came in from another show, and they were amazed by how much laughter was actually happening on the set. They're like, so you don't need to add anything. You're getting all your laughter from your actual audience.
Instead of pre-recorded shit that's added post-production. Yeah.
Your show, the writing is good enough to make people actually laugh.
Well,
not even pre-recorded, but I mean, from the story that was told, it was like this guy was from an opposing show that had a studio audience, but they didn't get the quality of laughter because their show just wasn't as funny.
Yeah, and I think, I'm sure they still sweeten studio audience laughter.
Oh, they definitely do.
I mean, they would have to. I don't know if you've ever seen an episode of Whitney. There's no way. I mean,
I've suffered for science.
Maybe they... I don't know. I've never been to a taping. Maybe, like, for the really bad shows, they give you, like, some ecstasy or weed or something before you go in.
I think it's kind of crazy how long it took your bureaucracy of networks to say, okay, we don't need laugh tracks. People will figure out where to laugh on their own. I know they attempted it a couple times in the 80s, and since the shows weren't a success, they said, oh, that doesn't work. We're going to go back to that John Ritter show. I forget the name of it, but they tried. It was called there was no laugh track, and it was a kind of a failure. So they blamed the failure on the fact that it didn't have a laugh track. And so it took a few more years to get laugh tracks all the way. So it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember one in the 90s called Bakersfield PD. Did you ever see that? Which I thought was a really good show. It didn't last very long. Another one without it. And I think, I don't know what the big catalyst was for getting rid of the laugh tracks. Maybe, HBO, like Larry Sanders show or something.
Yeah. I think it still took longer than that, but I mean, that was a big one. So maybe
that's one. Oh, that's one we should do, because that one kind of introduced the, uncomfortable humor that got real big much later, like The Office.
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting. The Office versus that.
Yeah.
The U.S. Office versus that.
Yeah, basically everything Ricky Gervais has done. comes from the Larry Sanders Show, which actually is available streaming, or it was.
Well, Netflix, yeah, that's how I watched most of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. We should do that sometime. We've hardly talked about these episodes at all, but there's not a lot to say about sitcoms, unless you want us to just rehash every single joke that was told them.
There's not a lot to say. I mean, we talked about how they were different in their time periods. It's like Mary Tyler Moore and 30 Rock. There's a lot more to talk about because they kind of had a...
Are you in a candy bar?
No, I was moving a piece of paper. I didn't know it'd be that loud. I wish I was eating a candy bar. I wish that at 24/7. There's a... Oh, now I want a Twix bar. Anyway. I forget what I was saying.
You said we talked about the similarities.
Yeah, oh yeah. There's not a lot culturally to talk about with these two shows. And we could go through all the jokes, but I don't remember them all, so forget it.
Yeah, and I think most people have seen at least Arrested Development anyway. And either it's one of those shows where you really love it or it's not for you.
Oh, I guess we should talk about, since it was a former episode, I talked about how there's kind of soap was created in the 70s. And then the people who created soap created Golden Girls, and Mitch Hurwitz wrote for Golden Girls, and he created Arrested Development. So it's neat that there's the stepping stones from one show to the other.
Yeah.
One awesome soap opera sitcom to another awesome soap opera sitcom.
So we can thank Susan Harris.
Yes.
Ooh. And maybe even Rod Roddy. You know, he was an inspiration for Ron Howard.
To be a good narrator, not that crap like they had inside the show.
What?
There's an episode of Arrested Development where Tobias stars in a Carl Weathers directed documentary about the Bluths, and the entire time it's on, Ron Howard is talking about how the narrator in that is terrible.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. Well, everybody should at least watch Arrested Development. Soap still holds up, although it is definitely more. More of a period piece.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching, though. If you just feel like just getting something from the 70s and you've already seen the Bob Newhart's and Mary Tyler Moore's and Sanford and Sons, you should check it out because it is a lot of fun and it's straight up parody, but good.
Yes, I agree. All right. We still have a little time to kill, I feel like. I'll talk. So I went and visited a friend this past weekend, and I think people think of California as being all L.A. or San Francisco, but when you drive through California, most of it is just miles and miles of jack shit. There's a lot of redneck towns. We're driving up 101, like through the mountains, lots of redneck towns of population like 200 where
is this north of San Francisco or south of San Francisco?
North of San Francisco. Okay. So, I mean, it's not much better south of San Francisco.
No, I just want to get which rednecks you're talking about.
Yeah,
ones in the mountains or ones in that
in the valley,
Gilroy Flat area.
Central Valley, yeah. No, these are the mountain ones who are scarier to me. Because I wouldn't want to even stop at a restaurant or anything in one of those towns for fear of just being killed like in Easy Rider or something. I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. You know, I love talking shit about the suburbs and the Midwest and the rural areas. I don't really care, but I don't get it. To me, like, how do you live in a town of 200 people? You must really hate people to be so secluded. And also, how do you ever meet anybody to date? Like, everybody knows everything. Can you imagine like going to buy condoms and the dude selling you condoms knows exactly who you're trying to fuck?
Of course, it's his daughter.
Well, yeah, like the old joke. Yeah. I just don't get it. It's ugh. California, thank God for the cities. They keep us one of the biggest blue states out there, but it ain't all that way here.
No, it is funny when you, because it is a varied state there. I mean, Prop 8 passed there. So
yeah, exactly.
There's all sorts of opinions throughout
Orange
that
County.
State. What?
Orange County.
Oh, yeah. And Orange County
is urban.
Yeah, it's not even, but I don't even think it's the most conservative in the state. It's just the most predictably, or not predict.
Well, it's the most concentrated area of of
and
conservatism.
The one you'll talk about the most, but it's a different kind of conservative than what you'll get in the more rural areas, which is more redneck conservative.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You know, it just.
Although, if you're driving north on the 101, you're pretty near Humboldt County. That's where you can get the best cut, the best pot in the U.S.
That's what they say. As you know, I don't really smoke pot, but it's still, we were actually in Humboldt County. It's just kind of, man, like, it's strange to think of, like, in the cities, you know, we've got, L.A. obviously has the film and entertainment industry. We've got the tech industry up here is really big. But, like, those towns, the industry is dried up. Like, I don't know what people do up there. They open their own shops and stuff. But otherwise, it's dead. You know, everything's all manufacturing has all been outsourced and stuff. So it's kind of depressing.
You went to visit a friend. Does he work up there or?
Yeah.
Independently wealthy?
No. I mean, well, his wife works as a nurse. So it's, I mean, that's something, you know, there's a need for everywhere.
Right.
But just overall, the towns are kind of depressing and depressed and like falling into ruin.
It paints a very pretty picture. I can't wait to visit.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my story for the week. I did love visiting my friends, though. It was very, very nice.
I'm sure they're listening.
Oh yeah, I know. I know they subscribe. So, hey, Isaac. Yeah.
Your town sucks. Sorry.
Your town's a rotting shithole.
I'm sure they're not. They don't realize that. So this podcast might make them move. This is the first time they realize how terrible their life is.
Yeah, move back down. Their life's fine. It's just
how could it be? They can't even buy condoms.
No, they don't live in one of the 200 population towns. They live in an actual town. yeah, I don't know. Anything going on with you?
I've. Self-improvement. You know how I like to work on self-improvement.
I know you like to talk about how you like to do it.
I've been working on improv. I thought maybe you could practice a little bit.
Oh, you're so full of shit. All right, let's do it.
Let's set up the scenario.
Oh, my God.
Let's say we're at the beach and I have an umbrella and you come over to talk to me.
Hey, nice umbrella you got there, fat ass.
Yes, and?
I think that was a great scene.
Well, I got the improv for dummies. I didn't go past the first chapter. They said yes and is the most important thing to do.
It's true, and you know what? You realize when we like talk and try to improvise, although we're not really trying to do improv, but it is actually much harder than you would think to do.
Oh, yeah, it's not only terrifying, but it's excruciatingly difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a nice warm up. Maybe we can you can work on it, read chapter two, and we'll.
I'll be sure to.
All right. Are we about done? You want to tell them what we're doing next week? Your nerdy ass nerd.
Oh,
nerd,
right. Nerd? Next time it's Amazing Spider-Man versus Private Eye.
And these are comic books.
Comic books, yes. Amazing Spider-Man. I forget the issue numbers we picked, but the storyline
121 and 122, I think.
Did you read it already?
No. I just looked at them.
Okay. I won't talk about the storyline. Anyway, it's 70s Spider-Man versus a 2013 comic written by Brian K. Vaughan.
Who is? I don't know the name. So, is he somebody I should know?
He wrote. He was a writer on Lost. He created Why the Last Man, which was a really good graphic novel series that came out in the last few years. Right now he's working on a Stephen King miniseries called Under the Dome.
On TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen commercials.
He's probably the best comic book writer that's working right now, that in my opinion. He doesn't really do superhero stuff, so he's not as popular as other people, but I think he does a very thoughtful, well-written, his work is really thoughtful and well-written.
And it's not like the endings aren't bullshit like the last season of Lost was?
I haven't seen last season of Lost, but no, his endings are good.
Dude, how are you missing all these shows?
Some of them I don't want to watch the end because I liked it so much. I don't want to stop watching it. So Lost and Battlestar Galactica, I've never seen the end of.
Oh, I haven't even watched it, but I've heard horrible things about Battlestar Galactica too.
Veronica Mars and other shows.
I thought Veronica Mars was good. It wasn't like the first season was obviously the best, but I didn't think it ended horribly.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not watching the end of Lost and Battlestar Galactica because I won't enjoy it. I think I know people complain about it, but I think I'll probably enjoy it. I just don't want it to end. I like to spread it out as long as possible.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I want to race through it.
Yeah, sometimes like Arrested Development, I was like that. I guess it depends on the show.
Well, you need to watch The Wire.
Yeah,
I'm tired of telling you.
which should come first, The Wire or Treme?
Oh, The Wire for sure.
I'll watch that.
Do it, because we got to do a show on The Wire and something at some point.
The Wire and Quincy MD.
I know exactly which episode to pick for that one. A punk rock episode.
Well, good.
Yeah, there we got some ideas. So Spider-Man versus what?
Private Eye. Yes.
Next week. And I think that's all we got. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We should. If you like the show, you should subscribe on iTunes and give us all the stars and like us on Facebook and add us to Twitter.
Yeah. Do all that.
And if you have any ideas for what you'd like to hear on the show, write us at popculturecontinuum@gmail.com and buy Divine Comedy CDs.
Yes. And yeah, do write us because we stupidly didn't get the right analytics to see how many people are downloading from iTunes. So we have no idea if anybody's listening besides our friends. Just write us and say, hi, I'm listening, you douchebags. We don't care.
Yeah. Stop telling us to go fuck ourselves.
Anything. Yeah. Tell us you love us. We don't get that from our friends or family, so.
We love you all equally.
Yes, equally is the right word. All right, I guess that's good.
All right.
So until next time, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.